Hi, how are you guys? Long time no see or hear from. What's up? My name is Jalan. I am the host of the Walking Well podcast. And it's been a minute. It's definitely been a minute. Sometimes we make plans and life is like, that's funny. So that's been a life trip for me. Life has been interesting. As I get older, I realize how like not in control life can be, or we can feel in life. And I'm learning to flow with that. I'm learning to just be, to be and allow God to reveal himself, for lessons to reveal themselves. To just allow things to be. And so I've kind of taken that approach in this past year with the podcast. I definitely had plans of expansion and of growth and, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then life just happened. And I'm queen of not forcing things. But I think there are also times when you just get back in the ring, because what else are you going to do? You know, kind of thing, like show up sort of thing. So anyway, that's my brief, slight, ambiguous, vague explanation, I guess, of where I've been. But finishing the year strong is important to me, and stepping into passions and callings are important as well. So I'm back, backish kind of. Anyway, so I don't really have a really strict plan. I just, again, I wanted to show up. And so I was reading this verse and it just exploded for me. And so I was just thinking like, man, I want to share this. This is so, so good. And so I just want to take a little bit of time in a little atypical fashion for the Walking Well podcast. Not that there's anything super typical about it. I try to flow. I want to kind of look at this little bit of Psalms 89 and just encourage you as we finish this year. It's just a reminder of God and who he is, and just how to stir yourself up so that you are encouraged, so that you don't allow discouragement or uncertainty or the unknown, hope deferred, to eat away at your core, at your bones. That God is still exactly who he says he is, even when it's shady and cloudy and unfamiliar, uncomfortable, all the feelings that I think a lot of us are super familiar with from not just 2021, but also 2020. And that life can just bring about, different life seasons can bring about. And so anyway, I was reading this verse on my phone, and I just want to get into it with you guys really quick. It's nothing super long, but I always say that, and I look up and 45 minutes have passed, but we don't have that time. So anyway, it's Psalms 89 in the Passion Translation. And I just have some thoughts as we like go through the scripture. And this is kind of just how I flow with the word whenever I'm in it and just going through it with the Lord. And so we're going to take a couple verses. I don't think we'll get through all of it. It's a pretty long chapter. But anyway, so this first verse, verse 1 in the Passion Translation of Psalms 89 says, "This forever song I sing of the gentle love of God. Young and old alike will hear about your faithful, steadfast love, never failing." And whenever I read through scriptures, I like to just pinpoint the parts of it that stand out to me. And so immediately this description of God's love, the gentle love of God, jumped out at me, because I'm definitely in a life season where I'm like, yo, God, hold on, for real, what are you actually like? I've had life experiences, I've had thoughts about you, I've had messages and tradition and religion and all those things kind of all in my history mingled up to give me a picture of you, but what are you actually like? Who are you for real? And I've heard people talk about the love of God. We have tons of songs about the love of God, but like, yo, who are you for real? Like, what is your love actually like? Who are you actually like? I know you're multifaceted, but like when you show up in my life, what do you look like? Who are you? And allowing the scriptures to just be like, this is who I am. You know, this is who I say that I am. This is who Jesus depicted me to be. And we know, you know, God is love, right? That's what the scripture says. God is love. And so one of the things that the Lord's kind of just been whispering to me is like, hey, go look back at 1 Corinthians 13. While you're here trying to figure out who I am and nail down what my character looks like in your life to you, to the world, to non-believers who I am, just standing there being God. Go back over to 1 Corinthians 13, because those descriptions, that's what you can expect from me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not boast. It does not envy. It doesn't insist in its own way. God is love, right? And so just this first verse, this forever song I sing of the gentle love of God. And like, whenever I think about singing is something that, like, I love music. And so singing for me sometimes is kind of like, oh, the song's just playing, you know, in the background, I'm singing with it. But sometimes I think the Lord uses songs to kind of like nudge me into an encouragement or nudge me into a truth. So songs will bubble up on the inside of me and I'll sing them and they'll kind of just minister to me, or I'll just sit on a song. I sing in the shower a lot. And so, the other day, in the shower singing My Redeemer, by Nicole C. Mullen, I've been on like this older song kick. Like, it's been a lot of Fred Hammond, a lot of, those kind of that 90s, 2000s era gospel music. But just singing that, like, My Redeemer lives, who taught the sun where to stand in the morning, like just reviewing, going back over. There's a song by Fred Hammond that I've just been sitting in. Man, it might be the 2004 album. Was it called All About Love? The album? Maybe. I don't know. But the song is How Do You Love That Way? And there are just these different verses where it talks about like how God corrects. You try to correct me. You slow me down. Rain on me softly when my leaves are brown. You resuscitate me when I hit the ground. Whatever it is you do, don't stop. And just like these love notes, but these like just these little echoes, these refrains that just, I think the Holy Spirit just whispers to me, infuses into my spirit. And it's just like this reminder of like, wait a second, you can have all these different experiences and allow those things to try to layer over, you know, your understanding, your knowledge of God. And there's a disappointment when there's a quote unquote failure, when there's a hard situation that it's, oh, God did that. And it's like, oh, God is this, God is that, God allowed that, God said, and it's like, hang on, you have experiences, but are you filtering God through your human experiences as opposed to going back to the scripture and being like, hold on, God is gentle. God is kind. I can't allow these things that have happened to shape my understanding of God. I've got to go back to his word and go, okay, wait, who do you say that you are? Who did you represent yourself to be? Hebrews 1 talks about Jesus being basically the thumbprint of God and Jesus speaking to his disciples and saying, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so when we find ourselves in situations where it's like, you're allowing your experience to dictate to you who God is, that's a moment to take a step back and be like, wait a second. Your love is gentle. You are gentle. You are kind. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And that's not to say that everything that God asks us to do or all the places that we walk and we go through are going to be easy. But in some of the most difficult, pressing times that I've had, God has always been like, I'm with you. I got you. I'll carry you. I'll be your strength when you have none, you know? And so just being mindful, like, man, hold on, I got to filter this through who you say you are, you know? And so this thing about this forever song I sing, it's like, you have such a revelation, such a deep drink of God's love that it bubbles up and it comes out in song. I love that. And then there's this note, if you read this verse, in the Bible app, it says the Hebrew word for sing has multiple homonyms. Sure. Can also mean wall. When we feel like we're up against a wall, it's time to sing and see ourselves break through by faith. But shur can also mean to behold or to perceive. As we sing to God in abandoned worship, we perceive that his glory is greater than the wall that stands before us. The root word of the word used here for sing is sur, which is also the same word used for having dominion over. So many times when we sing and worship, exalting the loving kindness of God, we establish dominion over any thoughts that God might not be faithful or that he might fail us. Sing when you feel defeated and watch as the walls come down and you rise to take dominion over your foes. So that was like a little commentary. I love that, love that, love that. Because I think, as most of us have possibly been in, man, the past few years can find you in some dark places where it's just you and your thoughts, you and your reality, right? And you just staring back at this thing like, this is crap. This is terrible. I hate it so much. I wish I could be somewhere else. I wish my life would look different, whatever. And just the power of like just singing, like the breakthrough that comes. I think there's something almost like exfoliating that happens to our souls when we sing, when we worship, when we just go like,
even in moments where you're like, I don't quite feel these lyrics right now, but I'm gonna sing it. Like, I think there's something, there's like this exfoliation that happens to our soul where the callousness that we can have, the thickness, the resistance maybe, or the unbelief kind of just gets, it gets exfoliated a little bit. And we have the sensitivity sometimes, a better, greater sensitivity, heightened awareness of the kingdom of God, of his nature, of his presence. Because truth be told, God has never left, but we definitely have seasons and times in life where we feel terribly alone. Like God isn't there. And it's just like, you don't perceive him, but there's something that worship does, like just being like, okay, you know what? How do you love that way? Teach me to love that way, or whatever your song is. It's funny, over Thanksgiving, one of the other songs that came up for me was Maverick City Music has a song called Thank You. And man, just like the words, because y'all know I'm a word nerd. I love words. And so just the words of that song, it's just, I just want to thank you. And just like, just sitting in that, like, I just want to thank you. So good, man. You're so faithful. And it's like, I don't know what I don't know what worship really does to humans. I just think it brings us in. It brings us in. It's like, we can be so earthly. You know what I'm saying? We can be so like, I feel, I sense, I taste, I touch, and that becomes the dominant reality. And there's something that worship, and not just singing, because there are people that like, when they get to drawing or when they get to dancing or when they get to writing, it's just like, oh man, God, speak. I sense you. I feel you. It's like worship does that for us. And I think especially in the past seasons of my life and current seasons where there can be so much disappointment or discouragement or confusion, to just be like, yo, I don't know, but I'm gonna sing about what my spirit knows, and what my spirit knows is going to come and dominate what I sense with my tangible senses. And I'm going to bring myself, I'm going to heighten my awareness of God and kingdom reality and subdue, this natural reality where things have a dead end or don't get better, or there is no hope, or there is no this, there is no that, there's all this lack, there's all this beneathness, there's all this, you know, like, no, I'm going to worship, and I'm going to elevate my awareness of you, God, I'm going to put the truth over what may seem to be a fact right now. And I'm going to allow that to wash over me. And when it washes over me, it gets in me. And when it gets in me, then it comes out of me. And that is how you see breakthrough come. It's what we see Abraham do. And like, God has given him a promise, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but my 100-year-old body and her 100-year-old body and all these different things. And I love Romans 4. Cause it's like, hey, he hoped against hope. But how do you hope against hope? You grew strong in faith. How do you grow strong in faith? You got to stir yourself up. You have to remind yourself of the truth. You got to get to this place of being like, yo, God, your love is gentle. Your love is kind. Lord, you are faithful. I didn't even finish the verse, y'all. I did. So young and old alike will hear about your faithful, steadfast love, never failing. And again, that worship is such a critical thing. Like to just be like, God, I'm going to just sing about what my spirit knows, what my mind knows, what my feelings feel. That ain't gonna get me out of this place. It's not gonna bring me closer to truth. Because again, we are so powerful in and of ourselves. We are creative speaking beings. And so if we are not enacting our faith, it's the only way we lose. The only way we don't see what God's promises is when we disconnect, right? When we don't go like, okay, I'm gonna trust you, I'm gonna believe you. And I love. I just love that we can say, God, like, I don't believe, help my unbelief. So good, because it's God who works in us, giving us the ability and the desire to do and be what's pleasing to him. That's Philippians 2:11-12, I think, 2:12-13. God on the inside of us, meeting God outside of us, saying like, okay, I'm gonna be who you need me to be on the inside of you. I am, right? So anyway, that's a beautiful verse to me. Verse 2, here's my chorus. Your mercy grows through the ages. Your faithfulness is firm, rising up to the skies. I mean, the imagery, beautiful, right? Here's my chorus. Like, and choruses are repeated, right? So here's my chorus. It's that your mercy grows. What? Grow? Ugh, that is so good. Your mercy grows. It expands. It gets wider. It gets bigger. It continues to expand my need for mercy, my sin. Like, your mercy just continues to grow and expand and get bigger and larger. It reminds me of the verse that says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even the more. The ability to overcome abounds even the more. Forgiveness abounds even the more.
here's my course. Here's what this is what I stay on. This is what I hum under my breath. Like, your mercy grows through the ages. Your faithfulness is firm. When I think about something that's firm, it's like the ground. Your faithfulness is firm beneath my feet. Your faithfulness is firm rising up to the skies. So not only is it firm underneath my feet, God, your faithfulness, it goes over my head. Like, it's just this all-encompassing thing, right? So like, your mercy grows through the ages, so it extends outwards. And then your faithfulness is firm. It's steady beneath my feet. And then it rises up to the skies. It goes above my head. It's just like this all-encompassing thing it covers us. This is my course. This is what I hum. This is what I stay on. This is what I meditate on, your mercy. Okay, so verse 3, I heard the Lord say, my covenant has been made and I'm committed forever to my chosen one, David. I'm of the mindset, whenever you see like one of the Lord's faithful or one of the Lord's favorite people and he's talking about how he feels about them, you just go ahead and put yourself there, right? So I heard the Lord say, my covenant has been made and I'm committed forever to my chosen one, Jalon, or whatever your name is. I have made an oath that there will be sons of David forever, sons that are kings throughout every generation. Let's just talk about legacy and generations because I'm on that. I love that. I love that. That there's this like, God is like, I'm committed to you. Like, my covenant to you, my covenant with you that I got cut with you, I'm committed to that. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to remove my faithfulness from you. I'm not going to remove my love from you. I'm committed to you. And like, in this day and age, it's so funny. I was with family over Thanksgiving and I got to talk to some of my cousins. I hadn't seen them forever. And so we were just talking about a lot of things because we're now all like in our 20s. And what's weird is that I've only ever really kind of seen myself as a peer to someone or like a mentee, right? Like, older people can kind of give me wisdom or I'm like side to side with somebody. But I've had a couple of interactions with people where they're like, hey, so tell me about life. Is it supposed to be like this? And I'm like, man, that's weird. That's weird that you like looking up to me and asking me about this stuff. That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's happening. But we're just talking about things like in life and ambition and legacy, how we were raised, parenting, dating, marriage, all those kinds of like life things. We're all talking about them. And we spent some time talking about dating and it was just so funny. We were like just talking about differences generationally because all of my family was together and just what was normal now versus in different generations and things like that. And I just think it's so interesting when you hear God talk about commitment because, you know, if you out here in the scene, people have all kinds of commentary about like what singleness and dating and even marriage is like and who's down for what and whatever. But just to hear the Lord be like, yo, I'm committed to you. Like, it's me and you. And there's another verse. It's in Psalm 32, also in this passion. And it talks about the Lord says, I will stay close to you, which I like has always undone me when I read it because it's not like this. Hey, you need to keep up. Stay close to me. Hey, don't get lost. Don't get off track. He's like, I will stay close to you. Like, I am committed to you, to being wherever you are. And I will put the energy in to stay close to you. I will put the energy in to stay committed to you. You are my chosen one. Just like he said over Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He has the same declaration over each one of us. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Right. And that doesn't change. Right. He's never like, dang, you messed up. I'm not so pleased. Like, I'm upset with you right now. You're getting on my last nerve because I told you not to do that. You did it. You are not my well-beloved right now. Like, no. Like, you stay his well-beloved because you are in Christ Jesus. That's how that works. Anyway, so he's made this oath that there will be sons of David forever, sons that are kings through every generation. And I just love this because I think, I just think there's something about having this intentional legacy, if you desire to have children, this intentional legacy of like passing down the word to your kids. But also that God is like, I'm gonna be committed to your seed. Like, that, like, generationally, he's like, I'm gonna look out for not just you, but all those that'll come after you, because that's how I feel about, that's how committed I am to you, to your well-being in the earth. Like, not just you, but your children and your children's children. I am committed to you. Like, that is just so beautiful to me. So anyway, verse 5-6 says, can you hear it? Heaven is filled with your praises, O Lord. All the holy ones are praising you for your miracles. The sons of God are all praising you for your mighty wonders. We could search the skies forever and never find one like you. All the mighty angels could not be compared to you. And I just think that is just, it's lovely. Like, oh, we could look everywhere and still we wouldn't find anybody like you. Like, you, your goodness. Have you ever tasted something that's like super sweet? I'm not a fruit eater, but I hear fruit can be really sweet. But you taste something that's really sweet and it almost like hits you in the back of your mouth, like, maybe this is me. I'm weird. It's not right. Where you just taste something super sweet and it's like, it just hits you in the deepest part of your mouth. It's like, ooh, something sour and just like zings you right back.
I feel like that's how the Lord's goodness is, where it's like so good, it just hits you like, whoa. And it's like in these verses, we could search the skies. Like we could compare angels to you and nothing touches who you are, your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, your love, nothing. And then verse 7, it says, you are God who's greatly to be feared as you preside over the council of holy ones. You are surrounded by trembling ones who are overwhelmed with fear and dread, stunned as they stand in awe of you. And the thing I want to pull out of this verse, is you preside over the council of holy ones. Like God is watching over the council, the conversation of how things ought to be and ought to go. He's watching over, he presides over the council of the holy ones. And I believe the holy ones here is speaking to like the angels, because he says the angels go and do his bidding, right? But that we are also called to give angels assignments, like, hey, you're supposed to bear us up in your hands as we dash our foot against a stone. Hello, I need you to do the things that you called do here. They're his heavenly messengers, right? So anyway, verse 8. So awesome are you, O Yahweh, Lord God of angel armies. Where could we find anyone as glorious as you? Your faithfulness shines all around you. It's like this key component of who God is. Verse 9. You rule over oceans and the swelling seas. When their stormy waves rise, you speak and they lie still. I just, the imagery of this, because whenever I read things, I see pictures of whatever I'm reading. And obviously, you know, Jesus literally calmed stormy seas and water and waves and things like that. But just to know that God speaks and he's so powerful, like he is so omnipotent, that's a word, omnipotent, all powerful, that everything is subject to his voice. Like he speaks and the reverence nature has for him is just like, oh, chill out, God is talking. But even in our lives, God speaks. Because sometimes, you know, God has said things to us and we're like, yo, when is that going to happen? Where is that, Lord? Like we passed the time. Come on now. And it's like, if the earth, if the tangible rushes to do God's bidding, what is, and if the tangible comes from the spiritual, right? Like if everything we see came from what is unseen, what is the spiritual doing when God has spoken something, even we can't see it? And it's like, it's such an exercise. It's such a discipline to stay plugged into faith, to stay plugged into the supernatural, because the natural can be so dominating and domineering, right? Like battering your faith. But man, nature, all of nature stands at attention to take God's commands. And the scripture says, like, he releases the word and it goes and does his bidding. It does not come back to him void. It doesn't fail to accomplish what he sends it out to do. So when God speaks, everything we see now comes from what God has spoken. But also, you know, flipping that on its head a little bit, everything you speak, if death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the power thereof, eat the fruit thereof. Your mouth is creating fruit, right? Your mouth is creating fruit and you have to eat of it, which is why I'm always like, hey, watch your words. But God speaks and everything runs to do his bidding. I'm like, man, that's wild. That is wild that God talks. And I don't know why it's wild, but it's wild to me. It's crazy, but not bad crazy. It's good crazy. Anyway, verse 10, you crushed the strongholds of Egypt and all your enemies were scattered at the mighty display of your glory power. All the heavens and everything on earth belong to you, for you are the creator of all that is seen and unseen. Oh, so good. So good. Verse 12, the four corners of the earth were put in place by you. You made the majestic mountains that are still shouting their praises to your name. Oh, it's so good. Mountains, like, you know, they're all different, like, beliefs about how old the earth is and all that kind of stuff. But just thinking about mountains, like still shouting God's praises. If you've ever been in a lively church when like a really good praise break, worship break breaks out and there's just so much energy, like you feel the energy in the room, even a concert, and you feel the energy in the room, like that mountains have the same, they're like, yo, God is amazing. God is untouchable. Have you seen anything like him? Nothing can be compared to him. Like just thinking about trees worshiping God, like just thinking about mountains, just being like, who is this God? Who, like, man, like just the thought of that is crazy. It's amazing. That all these things that he created and shaped with his hands, with his words, that those things recognize how awe-inspiring and how good he is. And that, like in their being, they are praising God. Like you read in Psalms 19, it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. Like just things that exist by their existence. They are testimonies of who God is, that he is creator. He created all the things that we see and everything that is unseen. And they shout praises to him because they recognize who he is. So good. So good to me.
Okay, verse 13. Breathtaking and awesome is your power. Astounding and unbelievable is your might and strength when it goes on display. Your glorious throne rests on a foundation of righteousness and just verdicts. Grace and truth are the attendants who go before you. We gonna sit right here for a second. Verse 14. Sorry, guys. Verse 14. Your glorious throne rests on a foundation of righteousness and just verdicts. Ugh, come through, Jesus. Like, say this word, Lord. What? So good. Like, as a Black woman, as a seeing, aware human being, there are so many things in the world that break my heart and make me so sad. We've had a number of trials happen recently. But most recent is it's not the Ahmaud Arbery trial, because obviously he's not on trial, but the trial of his murderers. And it was, you know, the verdict that it was, which was much better than previous verdicts and non-trials. But just like, I love that God is like, yo, I'm just. And not even in the sense of like people get what they deserve, because that gets tricky because we're all deserving of a lot of things. But just when like there's this mishandling, this gross mishandling of what is right and righteous, that God is like, you know what? I'm not that way. That is not who I am. I give just verdicts. I love that about God. I love that about God. I love that we can depend on that from God, that we can depend on just verdicts, that we can depend on a throne that's settled on righteousness. I love that God is like, I'm gonna give you that. Like, I'm gonna make sure that you get that, that he is, I heard today that God takes very seriously oppression. Oof, I love that, because there's, for me, just how God has made me, there is this thing about bullying and treating people badly that my soul just does not like, cannot stand. But to know that God is like, yo, I'm gonna take care. I'm gonna make sure. I'm gonna follow up. I'm going to do right by you. I'm gonna make sure that right is done. And whatever that looks like to God, because I think sometimes we think we know, like, ooh, justice would look like this. And God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, all that good stuff. And I think he knows perfect justice. And so that God is committed to perfect justice, that his throne, it says, it rests on. Your glorious throne rests on a foundation of righteousness and just verdicts is beautiful to me. The other thing that is beautiful about this verse specifically is the latter half of it that says, grace and truth are the attendants who go before you. Y'all, the imagery is disgusting. Grace and truth. And think about the tension of grace and truth. Like, ooh, like truth is just truth, right? Like, it's just what it is. This is truth. Grace is this other thing that I think we're still learning, and we will always be learning as human beings. But grace and truth are the attendants who go before you. Like, grace and truth attend to God. They listen. They lean in. They go, all right, this is how this thing needs to shake down. This is how we need to address this. Grace and truth, like, are the attendants who go before you. Ugh, I don't know. It could just be me wilding on this verse, but it's so good to me. Okay, so, oh Lord, how blessed are the people who experience the shout of worship. That's what I was just talking about, me being a concert and it be live. How blessed are the people who experience the shout of worship, for they walk in the radiance of your presence. We can do nothing but leap for joy all day long, for we know who you are and what you do, and you've exalted us on high. There's something about knowing this pursuit. I don't know. I'm in a place where I'm like stripping down, just like, God, what is what, right? And just to be like, God, just to know you, kind of like what Paul said, to know you. I want to know you, and then to know what you do, because there are all kinds of conversations about who God is and what God will do and this, that, and the other. But there's something about God, when I know you, I know what you will do. When I know your nature and your character, sure, you could act outside of that, but I know that you have character. I know that you have a nature, and I can depend on that. That's what it means by faithfulness. You've experienced God himself enough, and the way that he moves, that he's dependable, that you can trust and rely on him to be faithful, to be consistent, to be a way maker, to be the one who carries you day by day, to forgive, to heal, to deliver, because that is who you've experienced him to be. So those are his characteristics. That is his nature. Could he be vile and ruthless? Yeah, he could, because he's God. He could do whatever he wants to do, but he's not going to act and behave outside of his character and outside of his nature. So when we talk about knowing who you are and what you do, to have intimate knowledge of that, it's like all we can do is leap for joy because you're so good. All we can do, we've tasted and we've seen, and it brings us joy, right? Verse 17, we're gonna end at 18. The glory of your splendor is our strength. and your marvelous favor makes us even stronger, lifting us even higher. Man, I love all of it. I love that. But your marvelous favor, it makes us stronger. The glory of your splendor is our strength. So like, there are times, man, when you're just like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I don't really know. And I always defer to this verse in Ephesians 6 and 10, where it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So there are days, obviously, I'm like, God, I'm tired, I want to get up. But Lord, I thank you that you give me strength. I'll have a burst of energy and be like, all right, here we go, getting up, getting after it. And it's that, it's like, man, the glory of your splendor, that's my strength. Your glory is my strength. And you know what makes me stronger? Having awareness of your favor. Like, you know what, God? You grant me favor. You go before me. You make crooked places straight and rough places smooth. You open doors no man can shut. You shut doors no man can open. You order my steps. You have called me beloved. You take care of the birds and the flowers. I'm much more precious than they. You got me. I can have trouble in this world, but I can take heart because you've overcome. Like, having knowledge of that, that makes me even stronger. I'm like, all right, knock down once, get up twice, you know? That makes me even stronger, lifting us even higher. Verse 18, you are our king, the holiest one of all. Your wraparound presence is our protection. That's like a Selah moment. Like, God is always with you. And because he is with you, you are protected. And that protection is your covenantal birthright. Protection is your covenantal birthright, just like healing, just like wholeness, just like peace, your covenantal birthright. So anyway, I just wanted to like hop in this together, offer some encouragement. It like exploded in my spirit. I was like, ooh, I want to share. I want you to be encouraged, to see God, to be reminded, to put yourself in remembrance. Because I think more than anything, the enemy wants to steal not just who God says he is, but your revelation of who God says he is for you, how God shows up for you. Your knowledge of that, like to be able to poison that, to cast a shadow on that, to steal that. It is like stealing your lifeblood. It is like stealing your ability to withstand him, right? To withstand the enemy. And so I just want to encourage you like to be refreshed by that word, but to also, if you need to pick up your swords and fight, your tools and fight, rest if you need to rest, cry if you need to cry, yell if you need to yell, do what you need to do. But continue to show up because God has not left you. So anyway, that's my encouragement. I hope you make it an amazing day. I hope you have an amazing week. I thank you. I thank God that you know that God is for you. He is with you. He is ahead of you. He is behind you. And he loves you. He's crazy about you. And so there is no leaving. He will stay close to you. So anyway, and I've said that about 5 million times. But anyway, I hope you have an amazing week. I just pray for a conscious awareness of the goodness of God to you, you-ward, toward you, and that you would be encouraged and carry that with you and allow yourself to be carried by that, that reality, that revelation, that truth that is spoken over you. And I pray God gives you an extra special revelation of it. All those things. Have an amazing week. Love y'all. Bye.